Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And as you know, my definition of love letters is pretty broad. It is a letter written in a loving or compassionate way to anyone at all for anything at any time. If you have a memory you want to share, if you haven't talked to somebody in 50 years and you've just gotten an address, why not drop a note? Apologies are wonderful. And of course, wooing and seducing and loving and proposing and all kinds of romantic things are wonderful also, but they don't have to be romantic to be counted as love letters. And today, I am going to introduce you to my wonderful guest who has been with me once before, and it's Brenda Knight, who wants to talk about something we've never talked about before, and that is emails. So, Brenda, I'm just going to go to you and just tell a little bit about yourself, like what you do, and so in case people didn't hear your last show,
okay,
they'll still know who you are.
I'm happy to do it. Well, my name is Brenda Knight, and I'm an editor and publisher. I'm also an author myself, but I really prefer to help foment the creativity of other people with their books. And oddly, Aviva Editions, and oddly enough, that leads to hundreds of emails a day.
Yes, it does.
You wouldn't think that a book editor would spend so much time composing emails.
I have a question to ask you, just if I may.
Yes.
Do you check your emails every minute? I mean, are you always checking? What do you do?
No, I don't. If I did, Janet, I think that you would be visiting me in the mental hospital.
Oh, I know. Yes, of course.
I batch them. And in fact, like when I talk to like, you know, coworkers and my team and I say, email is not your job. Email is a tool, because people can come down with an illness that's even worse than that flu I had in August. I call it email-itis.
Yes.
Where they just do email and they actually never get to their to-do list.
Yes.
So I think a lot about email. I consider email and how to use it as a tool, which is what it's supposed to be, and not as the be-all and the end-all. So
okay.
I have a conflicted relationship with email, but I'm going to have a good relationship with email, and I strive to do that every day. So, you know, when I thought about what I was going to talk about with you in Love Letters Live, I thought emails, because especially in the last week, about 20 emails a day from an author that is our lead title, you know, for this fall, have been coming in to me, and they're vociferous and even kind of vicious and mean-spirited.
I'm curious, what would he have? He's got a book coming out.
Yes,
he's your lead author. What does he have to be mean-spirited about, actually?
You know, what's funny is that he's a brilliant writer, too, award-winning brilliant writer. And I try to read between the lines when I get one of these sputtering, spouting, mean-spirited emails. I translate it as this, so that I can deal with it, really, and not just react.
Mm-hmm.
I try to respond and not react.
Oh, what a nice difference. What a nice
yeah.
fine point.
So he cares enormously. So he cares enormously. That's the main thing. So I think, okay, he cares so much that that his intensity comes through, his over-intensity.
About his book, about his
about
life.
About every little
uh-huh.
thing about his book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, you know, we send galleys, advanced galleys, when we do an important book to the media. You know, we produce like 100 copies. In his case, because it's a book with such big expectations, we did 200 galleys, which we've actually never done before at Viva Editions.
Mm-hmm.
And every day he sends me emails about 3 times saying, well, I need the latest list of galleys that were sent. You know, we've probably sent him 5 times the list of galleys. I mean, we're sending more every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's not like we
he wants an update.
He wants an update. But you know, so I try, you know, the co-workers get aggravated because they get emails from him too, although I would prefer if he just emailed me. But they get emails from him too, because he's just...
So you're all working across purposes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're all human, you know, so they get mad. They're like, they think, geez, why is he such a jerk?
And what kind of things does he say, may I ask? Or yeah, can yeah, you illustrate? Can.
Yes, I can. He said, that last galley list you sent me was a mess. My high school daughter could have done a better job.
Oh, okay.
So sort of attacking. Yes. And so at first, the first couple hundred emails, I guess, like that, I just sort of mentally waved them off. And I thought, oh, he just cares so much and he can't help himself. But it's funny because, like, with each passing day of this last week of September 2011, you know, I think one of these days I'm going to have to email him back and try to let him know how his emails come across. And I almost did it yesterday, but I thought, no, now's not the time. The day will come when you must do that.
Good. So maybe today and now will be it as an illustration to people. Let's figure this out.
Yes, maybe it is. I mean, because I even started to compose an email saying, I think I started off saying, it is, what did I say? I didn't say hurtful. It's dismaying to receive some of your emails. Mm-hmm. We're working really hard on your book.
Oh.
We have enormous expectations. And then I just erased, you know, hit the like backspace key and deleted. And I just dealt with the facts. And I said, we will get to the latest galley list as soon as we're able. As you know, we are working on TV and radio and print for the tours, and that takes precedent over the galley list.
So that's just kind of what you want to say.
What I would like to say is, man, you have no idea how your emails are coming across. If you did, you might rethink it.
Okay.
Because what you are doing is you're demoralizing the people who are marketing your book, that are publishing and marketing your book.
And you want us to feel positive and great to do the best job for you.
Exactly. And he has lost sight of that. It sort of astounds me. That's actually happened at one other time this fall, where an author went a bit on the attack. And I thought, wow, they're missing that sensitivity. Gene, what was it Jennifer Aniston said about Brad Pitt? Sensitivity chip is missing. Their sensitivity chips
And they're shooting themselves in the foot.
They are shooting themselves in the foot. Because when the people that are marketing and publicizing you suddenly feel differently about you and are unenthusiastic about you in your book.
They must have missed that page in the manual that says, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Yes. So it's sort of, you know, I try to stay good humored about it, but, you know, but back to the point of, you know, this show is that every single day I struggle with the best way to not react, but respond.
Yes.
And a few times I find myself thinking, Brenda, just be like a guy about it. Just answer the facts.
Well, okay, that's one thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, be rational.
Right.
And rational is really nice, but I've got a thought, but I have a question that's just occurring as you're talking. Email is so easy. Email is such, I mean, I like to get emails, you know, I like to get love letters, I like to get real letters, and handwriting just takes my breath away. But I use email, and I use it, I kind of write letters, I use that form even, just because I'm old and that's how I was taught.
Proper and cultured.
It's dear somebody, and, you know, it's like proper. But, and I have a real signature, you know, I don't just sign my name, or some people don't sign it at all, because I think email, as opposed to being a letter, is a painfully slow telephone conversation. Mm-hmm. And it goes back and forth. But I think it's, so I like getting and sending a love spurt.
Mm-hmm.
On an email.
Nice.
And I think the spurt is kind of the issue here. He's sending an angry spurt.
Yes.
Or a frustrated spurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just wondering, if we didn't have email, would he take the time to do that in letters? I bet he wouldn't.
I don't know. He is a letter writer.
Oh, he is. Okay.
And he's actually a an archivist and a documenter. You know how scholars and writers and
yes.
libraries and, you know, collections take on their letters.
Okay.
And that includes emails now.
All
and
right.
I was sort of thinking to myself, like, well, this will be a hilarious, like, little file.
Okay, so wait a minute. So do you print them out and keep hard copies?
Well, I mean,
point.
He probably does. I actually do keep them in an email folder. Some of them that I need for purposes of, like, quickly being able to look at what's going on with the book, I keep in a
file. Yes, so you can refer to it right away.
Mm-hmm.
But I have something I'd like to say about that is
yes.
that technology changes every
mm-hmm.
very quickly so often.
Mm-hmm.
You can't play your Betamax movies.
Right.
You can't buy a machine anymore that plays VCRs. It's
mm-hmm.
only CDs. And as we're talking about CDs, you're going to be Blu-rayed out of existence. And, but
mm-hmm.
you know, it just changes. Whatever technology we're using, don't
mm-hmm.
count on being able to find those.
Right.
Do you remember the things we used to put on floppy disks?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. That brings a laugh to everybody.
Right.
But they're gone.
Right.
They're
yeah.
gone.
Yes.
So it's a good idea for everybody, if you do get an email that you want to keep for some reason, to print yourself out a copy
mm-hmm.
with a laser printer,
mm-hmm.
because I think inkjet fades over time. Good paper, and
right.
that will last. I mean, if you want to keep it for archiving purposes, you
mm-hmm.
can't count on this.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a thought
okay.
about responding. You just said it all yourself sitting here, everything you need to say. And I think you were right to cross out, to delete, starting right in with your aggravating and your antagonizing us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How about a real letter in
mm-hmm.
your handwriting?
Mm-hmm.
And he'll know that you put so much more thought into this. What about, dear so-and-so, I know how important this book is to you,
mm-hmm.
and I want you to know that it is important to us also.
Mm-hmm.
And we are working very hard to do our best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know how frustrated you are. And it was just acknowledge all the things that you know are driving him to respond this way.
Uh-huh.
And then in some way, maybe you could say, I mean, you say it again, as maybe, or when you listen to this, that you know that he's capable of better communication because of the wonderful kind of writer he is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you know that he doesn't mean to antagonize the people who are getting the emails.
Right.
You know, just in other words, a letter that keeps attributing the best possible qualities to his miserable behavior.
Okay. That's very wise.
And
that's
maybe
very good idea.
Maybe he'll take that in.
Mm-hmm.
And in a letter.
Right. I know it couldn't be email.
Right.
Right. A couple of times I've broken the cycle of email dysfunction by just picking up the phone and calling.
Mm-hmm.
And then at least once he responded by email to my phone call.
Oh, the same person?
Yeah, pretty incorrigible. But, I worked on, you know, his book last night until about 8 p.m., like, you know, gathering information and making plans, and another person was there and also working on it
mm-hmm.
In National Public Radio pitches, etc. And, you know, she had to tell me for a half hour how mean and awful she thought he was. And she also said that if another one of his books came in through PEP board, that she would say, absolutely not, I don't want anything to do
mm-hmm.
with this person anymore. And
how would you say that in a positive way? And I don't mean in a positive way to make light of it or good of it, but how
mm-hmm.
could you turn that around and make him see that, what could you say that would make him see that he's antagonizing people to the point where they're not going to want to work with them again? I mean, could you say something?
He must have encountered that before, because I feel sure this isn't the first time he's been to this particular rodeo.
With you or with other publishers?
With other publishers.
Uh-huh.
This is the first time with us. So I know he's done this before. I actually feel that, well, I know I have a high tolerance just for all kinds of behavior in general.
Mm-hmm. How lucky for everybody.
Yeah, I have a high tolerance for kookiness or whatever you want to call it. Well, actually, I give creative people, you know, writers, artists, I give them a lot of room. I just think, okay, they're special.
Okay, so what a wonderful thing to say just that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from you to him personally, I give you, as I give all creative and artistic people, more leeway than usual because I know that you need it.
Right. But I need you to temperament.
Uh-huh, mm-hmm. But I need you to understand.
Yes.
That when you send emails that express your frustration, but you're not really thinking about how they hit when they mm-hmm. reach our end,
mm-hmm.
I don't want you to put yourself in the position of not being nice enough. I mean, I guess you can come out and say it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that people aren't going to want to work with you again. And I don't want that to happen to you. And the beauty of doing it in a letter is what would mm-hmm. you think?
Right. In a letter, I think it would definitely, well, he would have to take the time to read it. He wouldn't be sitting in front of his computer where, you know, something
where
happens.
Where he's munching a hamburger or doing something
right,
else.
Something happens to people, not everybody, but I think something happens to many people, including myself, when you look at that email inbox and you see 50 things, 500 things, whatever it is you see, and you feel this pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes you. It creates a stressful condition, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe there's some people that just, like, they sit down at their email and they're like, oh, boy, yay, excitement. But I think that when you're busy and you're trying to accomplish a lot, an email is a tool, and you immediately sort of tense up. I bet you anything if there reports about that. So he would, if he was reading this letter where I was very genuinely expressing, he's special, the project's special, we get that.
And you know that he's saying what he's saying out of his own frustration, not to hurt us.
Right.
However, the result is
yes,
that it hurts people here on the team who are trying to work on your behalf.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he, I mean, how could he not know that, Janet?
I don't know, but, you know, I don't know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because he's not thinking of the other person.
Right.
You know, and by the way, when you write a love letter, it's all about the other person's, a real love letter, which mm-hmm. I could see this is going to be,
mm-hmm.
even though it's born of something negative,
mm-hmm.
that's not a reason, a love letter isn't something that comes from feeling only enormous love for someone. As you can see, you can feel anger and just acrimony and disgust and mm-hmm. still write a beautiful love letter, and sometimes even more so for the garbage you have to go through to sift for those nuggets of gold.
Mm-hmm.
And a love letter forces you to concentrate on the positive, slim as it might be.
Yes.
You know, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, maybe the only thing positive about this man is his ability to write. Who knows?
Well,
but you're going to concentrate on that and what it's going to, you know.
Yeah, I think there's more than that, but I think that, you know, I think he's so pent up. It sort of, in a way, it goes back to what I said earlier, is he cares so much, almost too much.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps, you know, as I'm talking to you, I'm having a bit of an aha moment.
Me too.
Which is, I think that maybe he thinks we don't care
right.
the same level.
Well, maybe he also has so much of his self-approval tied up in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would be nice for him to get a letter saying, I see these other qualities in you. You are more than your book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's have some of that.
Right.
But the other thing is, this letter is already printed out.
Mm-hmm.
This letter, he may read and read again, he may see that it's from you and put it down
mm-hmm.
and wait for a time. People do odd things with love letters. Mm-hmm. For some reason with a letter, they don't read them in a group full of people. They take them into the cave by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And he can read it again.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet he will.
It'll go into those archives, too.
It is. Well, good. And by the way, how lovely for you that that'll be in the archive.
Sure.
And,
yes.
And he'll understand something more about the person he's working with.
Right, right.
About your tolerance and acceptance. And
yeah. Yeah, this has been, I mean, I do try to look at everything as a learning opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not entirely sure what the big get will be from this, but it's an opportunity to take the highest road.
Yes, and give him an opportunity to do the same.
Right.
And maybe
right.
He's just used to blurting out like this in life. You know, sometimes we behave from just bad habit.
Mm-hmm.
Because we haven't been given the opportunity to do better, or we don't know that there is a way to do better. I learned something years ago that struck me as so interesting. And, you know, you get to a certain stage in life and you don't hear something new all that often.
Mm.
And when you do, it's so lovely.
Uh-huh.
A woman was talking about balance. She was giving a talk. And she's a woman who was the head of some huge bank. And I'm sorry, I can't remember her name.
Okay.
But she was talking about balance in life. And actually email-centered, and how people are just checking their email every minute. They're just always checking their email, and late at night, and before they go to bed. And I mean, I do the same.
Oh.
And she said, do you know, I'll ask you this and see if you know, do you know why it was that businesses used to close at 5 o'clock? In the 40s and the 50s, businesses closed at 5 o'clock. You went home, you didn't check things. There was why do you think?
Well, I think back then it was about values, and the value was family and going home to your family and having dinner around the table.
And you could, because there was nothing to check. You know why there was nothing to check? 5 o'clock, it was all over, because the switchboard operator went home.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There was no more communication.
Right, right.
How blessed.
Well, I guess, you know, I have this boundary, which is that I don't do email on the weekends and I don't do email on the evenings.
Good for you.
Yeah. And that's shocking to some of my employees and interns that are in their early 20s
yes.
and early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
I had one young gentleman intern who was so talented that he became a proofreader for us. And when I told him I didn't do email on the weekends, his job literally dropped. You know,
yes.
You hear that, but you don't often see that. And I said, oh, yes. I said, when I'm here, I work really hard. But when I'm not here,
right.
I'm not at work.
That's so good. And you know something? You can't clear out your email. You can't, because it's coming 24 hours
Absolutely.
A day. And you're also getting the automatics.
Right.
So what you're doing
right.
is...
Yeah.
I think the only road to that kind of mental health right now.
Yes. Yes. I'm really glad that I have that boundary. I think my first time when email became this thing was when I was at HarperCollins, you know, and embarrassingly enough worked for Rupert Murdoch. And an email was exciting then.
Yes, it was.
You know, I remember.
By the way, so were freeways when they first came out.
Right, right, right.
Uh-huh.
And I remember, like, setting, like, what color were my font going to be, and things like that. You know,
yes.
Woo, I think I have very girly-looking,
pink,
blue, and
purple
yes. emails. Yes, and it was very exciting, and CCing,
uh-huh.
and blah, 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 and blind copying. Woo!
Uh-huh.
Anyway, and, you know, we had 250 people in the downtown San Francisco office. But I would say even with that, like maybe it was like 35 to 50 emails a day at the most.
For a big company.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I'm sure like if I was still at HarperCollins, it would be like, you know, 50 emails a minute or something like
that.
Well,
and then there are the other things. There are, you know, the hackers that are getting in, and that's
right.
a whole other thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not what it used to be. But this issue, I want to thank you so much for doing this with me.
Oh, you're
it's
very
been
welcome.
Just a,
well, actually, I've thank you so much for the letter idea, but it's been, I feel it was therapeutic.
You'll feel better when you write it. And by the way, when mm-hmm. you write it, you don't want to, I mean, I think,
mm-hmm.
and I'm very kind of firm on this in the workshops,
mm-hmm.
you don't just sit and start to write.
Yes.
You put down, first of all, you put down you write down your goal for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just to keep it in mind, just put it on a piece of paper and sit it next to you.
Yeah.
Although I know you know what your goal is and you're so good at that part.
Mm-hmm.
And then write down all the things that you want to respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Every little nasty thing. And then put down all the things you want to say about him that are positive. Everything good about him that you know.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you want to say to encourage him.
Mm-hmm.
To behave better. You know, I know that you have it in you to, I know that you're capable of,
yes.
I know that you want to
mm-hmm.
get your idea across and don't intend to hurt anybody's feelings the way you do it.
Right.
You know, put that all down and then look at everything you've written down and choose which things are going to be most effective for you.
Yes.
And by all means, if you know, I write letters and I do it on the word processor
mm-hmm.
because I can type as fast as I think.
Mm.
Having been taught to type by this angel when I was 12.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I do it in handwriting.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And there's something intimate about that.
Yes.
That
definitely.
I wouldn't appreciate. And the envelope also.
Right.
So, okay.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you. I've never talked to anybody about this before. The issue of responding to email with a letter. And it doesn't have to be just for negative. Sometimes we get a positive email. A loving email. It's still nice to sit down and write a letter in return.
Right.
You might want to send an email back saying, I got your email, thanks, letter's coming.
Right.
Something.
An email, I mean, rarely, if ever, can have the emotional impact of a letter.
I agree. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have, you know, a letter is something that your hand has touched.
It's
He'll be touching something that's felt the touch of your hand.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
It's like holding hands across time and distance.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Will you let us know how
I
this works out?
I will, Janet.
I'd like
I'm going to make sure that you're invited to some of the book events because there's at least two, one at City Lights and then one at the Beat Museum on Columbus there and Broadway. There's a couple of events coming up that should be a big deal. And as we were talking, you said best qualities of him and that sparked a memory. When I did get to go on like a little photo research junket with him, and there was a photographer that we had to hunt down like detectives knocking on doors. We finally, a postman secretly told us where to find him.
God bless the Postal Service. Yes.
And the photographer is very frail and actually, you know, just in the last 5 years since we'd seen him, like in a wheelchair bound and actually lost like his ability to speak. And this author, I didn't quite know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just standing there asking if I could do anything to help. And, of course, he couldn't really respond. But this author got down on his knees and was so gentle with him. And I thought, wow, look at how wonderfully I didn't know what to do. He knew exactly what to do.
So everything that you're saying, you know, I think when we talk about the things we want to say to people, it all comes out of our mouths if we can only listen to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a wonderful thing to put in this letter. I personally know how gentle and caring you can be because I saw it with the photographer when we first remind him that you witnessed it.
Right.
And maybe you'll remind him that he can do it.
Right.
Oh, this would be a beautiful letter. Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome.
This is great.
Thank you.
Well,
therapy.
Yes, and by the way, that's a big part of writing letters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, therapeutic.
Wonderful.
And please just take note that responding to an email with a letter is a really beautiful thing to do. And if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is always a special occasion. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying bye-bye.